The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Let's be frank. A dangerous movement, undetected by many, but real, is now challenging and eroding a great tradition of religious freedom.
These religious leaders would do the world a great deal more good if they would call their people to obedience to those Ten Commandments instead of passing whims of the environmental movement.
I've always said any church that doesn't practice excommunication does not love their people.
Military families in Asia love issues etc.
Issues etc.
Two big stories breaking, one in Chicago and one out of New York City, the New York Times, revolving around an unfolding story at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, up in the Chicago area, very influential megachurch. The ongoing story are allegations being made against the church's founder, Bill Hybels. He has resigned several months ago. Now, another resignation that was reported yesterday, and the story, another allegation being reported in the New York Times of a, well, they're already of a serious nature. This seems to be of a more lurid nature involving Bill Hybels. This coming from a former assistant of his, and the allegations date back to the 1980s. Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, August the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to get an update on allegations of inappropriate behavior against Willow Creek's founder, Bill Hybels. Manya Brashear Pashman of the Chicago Tribune will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. We'll talk about the theological direction of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with Matt Cochran. He's recently written a column titled Just Stay Ahead of the Wind. And then we're back to our series introducing the books of the Bible in the Song of Solomon. This is a difficult book. It's difficult on a number of levels. Its contents are somewhat difficult. What kind of a book is it? What is the message of it? And besides that, it's ancient Hebrew poetry. We'll talk about the Song of Solomon with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Joining us for an update on allegations of inappropriate behavior against Willow Creek's founder, Bill Hybels, Manya Brashear Pashman, religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune and author of a recent story titled Teaching Pastor Resigns Over Willow Creek's Handling of Allegations Against Bill Hybels. Manya, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
What appears to have precipitated lead teaching pastor Steve Carter's resignation from Willow Creek this weekend?
Well, several weeks ago, he issued a public apology on his personal blog, apologizing for the way the church had, what he believed, mishandled the allegations against its founder, Bill Hybels. And the apology was not only addressing the way the church had handled it, but also basically just reaching out to the women to say that he did believe their stories, he did believe the allegations against his predecessor, and that he felt like the church should listen. Now, fast forward several weeks, the New York Times published a story yesterday online that the former executive assistant for Hybels had come forward with much more severe allegations than what we at the Tribune previously had reported. And those allegations, Steve Carter's found, quote, he used the word horrifying, and later that day he made his resignation public.
I understand that he had actually submitted his resignation to the elders at Willow Creek sometime back.
So yes, he did. He tendered his resignation several weeks ago, and you know, if the timeline adds up, it may be when he issued that public apology. But the church leaders asked him to wait until they were ready to make that public, and asked him to continue serving in leadership until they were ready to figure out how to make that announcement. I think yesterday, given the news in the New York Times, he just realized he couldn't wait any longer. He had to do what he felt was right because he didn't feel he could lead with integrity anymore.
What does Steve Carter's resignation mean then?
That remains to be seen. A lot of people believe that he resigned because he didn't see a way forward. In other words, it was perhaps more than just irreconcilable differences with the elders, but that he just didn't see a positive way forward for the church and didn't think that it was possible to kind of steer them down the right course. And so it's, you know, I think that that might be, I mean, what it means is that they've hit kind of a brick wall in terms of being able to move forward, and maybe they need to seek outside help. Some people have suggested maybe an independent council of evangelical leaders to help them navigate this. Those are all possible signs.
So you mentioned the allegations that appeared in the New York Times over the weekend. Tell us a little bit more about those.
So the allegations came from Pat Baranowski, who was Bill Hybels' former executive assistant back in the mid-1980s when she was in her early 30s. Apparently, she was invited to move in with Bill and Lynn Hybels and lived with them for about 2 years, was very close to their family, went on family vacations. There was a moment, I believe in 1986, when Lynn Hybels went out of town and Bill Hybels took Pat Baranowski out to dinner. And when they returned, he offered her a back rub, which she found odd, but because he was her boss and her pastor, she didn't feel like she could say no. And that resulted in her lying down in front of the fireplace. She says he undid her bra. And the chilling detail that the New York Times included was that she could feel his hands shaking as he touched her breasts. And there were multiple encounters of rubbing up against her, touching her breasts over the course of 2 years, she says. There was one incident that escalated into oral sex. And there was one incident in which apparently, you know, there was a campaign in evangelical circles back in the 80s to counter, to fight pornography. And James Dobson from Focus on the Family had been calling on evangelical leaders to fight the sin of pornography. And Bill Hybels apparently asked Pat Baranowski to go out and get pornographic videos so that they could do research, and he then asked her to watch those videos together with him while he was wearing a bathrobe, according to the New York Times. So incidents like that took place over a 2-year time period. She was racked with guilt. She told the Times and went to Bill Hybels and said, you know, this is sinful, we need to stop this. And his attitude toward her, she said, changed. And I'd say probably less than a year later, she was shown the door. She left.
Turning back to Steve Carter, in his short time in the position of lead teaching pastor and then on staff beforehand, do we know what his previous take on the mounting allegations against Bill Hybels had been before this?
We only know what he has said, and that is, you know, when the story first broke in March, there were family meetings, and Steve Carter was up on stage with the lead pastor, Heather Larson, Bill Hybels, the elders who had handled the investigation of the allegations for 4 years prior. I don't know that he knew anything about those allegations before the Tribune story broke. I think it was news to him. I don't know. I haven't had the chance to ask him that directly. I believe that he did believe and trust his colleagues in ministry that these were questionable allegations and that there was a kind of a campaign of collusion. But I also think that there must have been red flags for him, because he then, very shortly after that, you know, did approach the women and privately apologize. And so I don't know when in the process his mind began to change. But there was one moment, you know, at one of the family meetings where there was a question about the volume of emails that Bill Hybels had exchanged with a woman who had alleged a 14-year affair, extramarital affair with him. She later retracted that when she was confronted by an elder about it. But there was still a lot of question about, you know, maybe more than 1,100 emails that he exchanged with this woman over a short amount of time. And Steve Carter, you know, kind of joshed with the other leaders up on stage about the brevity and kind of lack of substance in a lot of Bill Hybels' emails. And he did regret those remarks later on. He did express regret over that.
Have any of the alleged victims responded to Carter's resignation so far?
Yes. I spoke with Vonda Dyer, who is the former vocal director at Willow Creek, and she says that Bill Hybels in the 90s on a trip to Sweden, you know, invited her to his hotel room, gave her an extended hug, caressed her stomach, you know, some inappropriate behavior she has alleged. She says that she really praised Steve Carter for, you know, making the bold move to leave. She believes that it signals dysfunction in the church leadership there at Willow Creek. And while I think a lot of people wish that he could have stayed, they understand why he didn't, and they understand, or they kind of read, they're reading the signs of his departure as yeah, there's trouble at the top at Willow.
Has there been any further word from Willow Creek's elders?
There hasn't been any word from the elders. Heather Larson, the lead pastor, did issue a letter to members late last night. There was no mention of Steve Carter's departure during the worship services yesterday. Actually, the only mention of Steve Carter was that, honestly, that he was vomiting backstage, and therefore he couldn't come to the stage to fulfill his duties during the worship services. But turns out he'd actually resigned. It's unclear if he was actually physically ill. But Heather Larson did say that he was physically ill over the allegations that they all read about in the New York Times yesterday morning. But she told members of the church that she understands that there is an urgency to knowing more about the investigation of the allegations, knowing more about who may take over as the new lead teaching pastor, and just basically encouraging them to have faith in God, that God will navigate them through this, and to pray fervently.
Any further word from Bill Hybels himself?
No. Bill Hybels has not offered any reaction or comment since he stepped down from the church back in April. I've sought his comment a couple of times and have not been successful. He did comment, though, to the new allegation in the New York Times. He did deny the allegations by Pat Baranowski and said that it just simply wasn't true. That's the most recent comment we've heard from him, and I believe it was in an email to the New York Times.
Do we have any idea what the status of lead pastor Heather Larson is now in the leadership of Willow Creek? I guess what people are honestly asking is, because they were both brought up together as a replacement for Bill Hybels, kind of handpicked by him, that if Steve Carter exits, perhaps her exit is not far off in the future.
I don't know. I think that, yes, they were both handpicked to be Bill Hybels' successor, but she was always the CEO. They weren't lateral positions, in other words. I never got that impression. He handled the teaching, the preaching at the church, but she really was the CEO. She served on the, and still serves, on the elder board as the lead pastor and makes the decisions, basically. So I don't know that his departure signals that she is the next to go. I also don't know that they've been on the same page through all of this. And it's possible, again, that Steve Carter didn't know all the information that Heather Larson knew just because they were in different positions. So I don't know. I do know that outsiders, church observers, are looking at Willow and questioning whether the current leadership can handle what's going on and whether or not they've been making the right decisions. And if they haven't, can they steer the course, steer it back on course. There's been suggestion of an independent council of evangelical leaders to kind of step in and shepherd Willow through this. But we'll see. But right now, everybody is still in the same positions that they were before.
Has there been any indication of how this has affected Willow Creek in terms of attendance or any other numerical kind of measure like that?
It's hard to measure objectively. I mean, it's summertime, and so, you know, I'm not in that church every weekend, so I don't know what the crowds normally look like. You know, with summer vacations, it's always possible that empty seats are are always empty, no matter what's going on at the church. But, you know, I've certainly heard rumors or hearsay that pledges are down or attendance is down, but nothing that can easily be confirmed. I will say that, you know, Willow Creek Association, which is a network of about 11,000 some churches that follow the Willow Creek model of ministry, they are hosting their Global Leadership Summit at the church Thursday and Friday of this week. And they've already lost several speakers, and they've lost about 100 churches who they broadcast this summit to churches across the country, actually around the world, and they've lost about 100 of those churches that serve as host sites for the broadcast. So speakers, host sites, they're withdrawing from it. And honestly, that was as of Friday. Today, I'm not sure what those numbers are looking like.
Manya Bashir Pashman is religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune. She's author of a recent story titled Teaching Pastor Resigns Over Willow Creek's Handling of Allegations Against Bill Hybels. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Manya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's time to talk with Matt Cochran about the theological direction of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Days, Fort
Worth Nights. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.